Now we have a sad note here. There's a man we've been following ever since we actually began the book of Genesis. That's Moses. He was the writer. We had something to say about him. Now he's going to pass from this earthly scene. Verse 12, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Get thee up into this mount Abiram, and see the land which I have given unto the children of Israel. And when thou hast seen it, thou also shalt be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother was gathered. For ye rebelled against my commandment in the desert of Zin, in the strife of the congregation, to sanctify me at the water before their eyes." Now this was, you remember, Moses smote that rock twice, and God told him just to speak to it. And because he got angry and did this and did not obey God, and by that not protecting the type, because that rock is Christ, it represents Christ, and he only died once for our sins, only smitten once, and therefore it provided the living water for us today. And the sad note, of course, is that Moses now is to take a look. He'll see into the land, but he'll not enter the land. There was a trick question that I used to ask the classes that I taught years ago in a Bible institute. And the trick question was, did Moses ever enter the promised land? And, of course, the students generally put down, no, he didn't. But every now and then a sharp student would say, yes, he did. And of course he did. And that was at the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses was there at the Mount of Transfiguration. But here he only got a view of it. And God will not permit him to enter into the land. You see, disobedience today keeps many of us from entering into our spiritual possessions. You see, to not believe God, to doubt God and disbelief will always lead to disobedience. And that's exactly what happened to Moses. And that robs many of us today. Now, there's to be a successor appointed to take Moses' place. And Moses spoke unto the Lord, saying, "Let the Lord, the God of spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, which may lead them out, which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit." He must be a Spirit-filled man. And he said, "Lay thine hand upon him." Now, laying hands upon him would not transfer any power, anything like that. All you can do today, and I hear so much about the laying on of hands, when you lay hands on someone, the only thing you can communicate to that individual are disease germs. You can communicate them, by the way, but no power at all. All it indicates is the successor or the partner in the enterprise, the church. You remember, in Antioch, put their hands upon Paul and Barnabas and sent them out. What? To communicate power? Oh, no. No power at all. The power comes through the Holy Spirit of God. But that they represent the church. The church is associated with these two men in the missionary enterprise. And that is the meaning of the laying on of hands. This man's to be the successor of Moses. He'll carry on where Moses laid down the work. Why, this man, Joshua, will pick it up. And I want to say just a word about Joshua here. We'll have a great deal to say about him when we get to the book of Joshua. And it's this. I think Joshua was probably the most surprised man of anyone in the camp that he was chosen to succeed Moses. He was, in one sense, the most unlikely one to succeed Moses. And you know why? He's an average man. No one went around and said, oh, this man, Joshua, he has great potential. He has great leadership ability and all that sort of thing that you hear today. Apparently, Joshua didn't have that. He was an ordinary individual. And Joshua, as someone has said, reveals what God can do with an ordinary man. And friends, the book of Joshua has always been a great encouragement to me. In fact, Joshua and Judges, I love those two books because they reveal the fact that God can take ordinary men if they'll be used of God and be yielded to Him. God can take them and use them. And that means He can use me because He can use the ordinary. And it means He can use you. You may not be the ordinary. Maybe I'm saying the wrong thing to you. But this is a remarkable thing, by the way. So Joshua now is the one chosen. He's the one appointed to take Moses' place. And in due time, at the death of Moses, we'll see at the end of the book of Deuteronomy, Joshua takes over.